You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
G&D, welcoming you back in on The Fan. We will get to your thoughts on the Commanders' new draft class at 800-636-1067, coming up in just a few, 800-636-1067. What'd you like? What didn't you like? Should point out, nice little development to the rundown today, wide receiver Luke McCaffrey, who was drafted out of Rice in the third round, is going to join the show in 90 minutes at 4:30.
Very nice.
So we will catch up with Christian's little brother and Ed's son, who's about to forge his own name in the National Football League. The show's brought to you by the law firm of Condori and Murad. They want to help you draft your will, set up a revocable trust, or create a medical power of attorney. You've been worried about the Commander's future the last couple weeks? How about worrying about your own future? Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that we sent you. Get a discount, kmlawyers.com. Danny, before we get back to the phones, Caps got swept yesterday.
Yeah.
Late night hockey, 8 p.m. start. Game ended a little before 11 last evening. First time they'd been swept out of the playoffs since 2011. At times, certainly on special teams, that series looked like it was 1 against 16, which if you line up the 16 playoff teams is what it was. You know, the Rangers won the President's Trophy. The Caps were the last team in with the fewest points. And so that was your 1-16 matchup, and they get swept. I thought 5-on-5 even strength. It was pretty competitive. You know, we went in a goal, as it were. But special teams, the Washington power play was a disaster. They couldn't get anything going. And it was a net minus because they allowed a couple backbreaking shorthanded goals in games 2 and 3 that spelled doom. Then when the Rangers got on the power play, it's seemingly after the first game of the series, every single time they would get, at worst, just a bunch of shots and swing the momentum of the game. And at best,
they were terrifying when they were on the power play. Yeah.
Igor Shesterkin was fantastic. I don't think he was tested enough. I didn't think they got enough shots of high quality from high danger areas or enough traffic, but he was really good. Lindgren was just okay. Didn't steal games like they probably needed him to. And Alex Ovechkin was pointless.
Just a non-factor completely. So whenever something like this happens, you always wonder, is there something going on with him? You know, whether it's worn down, whether there's an injury we don't know about, and it's also hockey, so we'll never, ever find out until he writes a book 20 years from now where he's like, yeah, I played the entire playoff with broken finger. Okay, maybe. Credit to the Rangers, though. They were better in every way. I thought they had a great plan to slow things down. The Caps, to me, just lacked firepower. There's no way around it to me. They needed an easy button. They needed the thing, frankly, that when Kuznetsov was right, half a decade ago, when he was into it, that he could just sort of make something that wasn't there, like threaten defenses,
they
make
got that
people accountable.
Last night, like that spark from LaPierre, where he went 1-on-4 for his goal. Like that right there needs to happen more than once in a series. You know what I mean?
Very well said. Yeah, they just need more firepower there because it feels like this giant run-up. I mean, I don't know if you're not a huge soccer fan, but like when I watch like my kids' team play soccer, it's this yeoman's effort just to get the ball down into their offensive end. And then there's really no chance they're going to score. It's like this giant buildup. It takes 3.5 minutes, it feels like. And then, you know, the goalie easily makes a save. And then it's right back into the other end. That's what it feels like watching the Caps sometimes with this kind of iteration of the group, especially if Ovi's not sort of covering some of your mess.
Yeah, I think he was gassed. And he was barely used through the first two periods last night at even strength. The least ice time of anyone on the team.
It's very Dale Hunter-esque.
No impact that time, really on the series. Certainly no positive impact at all on the series. And he didn't even get shots. I mean, he had 5 shots on goal in 4 games. credit the Rangers for having a good plan, Laviolette for having a good plan.
Mm-hmm.
But you need way more out of him. Frankly, all your stars.
Yep.
I didn't think Wilson had many huge moments. Oshie played his butt off last night, and we found out after the game he was playing with a broken hand and what could have been his last game of his career. I don't think he'll step away, retire, backstrom it, you know, along to my R, whatever you want to call it. He's got still money coming his way, and you got to peel that guy off the ice, just loves the game. But he did linger on the ice last night and took some extra time looking around. I mean, he has been dealing with massive, massive injury situation and back problems. He's got young kids, so who knows? But they're going to have money to spend with or without Oshie off the books.
Mm-hmm.
If Oshie and Backstrom are both off the books, that's like 17% of their salary cap right there. They need, as you said, firepower, goal scoring, offense. I thought it hurt not to have Jensen and Sandin, which is 40 combined minutes a night on the blue line.
Mm-hmm.
And then they bring both of them back last night for the fourth game of a series when they hadn't played in 2 weeks. And they both look like they hadn't played in 2 weeks. Jensen, in the first minute of the game.
Tough sequence there.
Yeah. Horrible turnover for a goal. Both of them committed costly penalties. So just across the board, it didn't go well. But I still feel really good about stealing a playoff season in a rebuilding year and the development of McMichael, LaPierre, Protas, Malenstein, Alexiev, you know, the leaps made by Strome and Ferravari into being really, really good players. They're trying to multitask, right? You've got Ovi around, so you're not going to do the full-on rebuild. And they've been able to thread the needle decently. I don't know how much superstar potential is on the roster in the organization with the kids. Like, Mareshnichenko could be really good. LaPierre could be very solid. But I think you got a couple of top six guys and then some role players, and they're going to have to really supplement with money.
Without a doubt.
As the veterans come off the books to try to keep this thing going on the other side of Ovechkin.
Yeah, you never like to lose. That's no fun. That's obvious, especially to an Eastern Conference rival. But to me, the time for upset was not with this one. I know a lot, I saw this. A lot of fans seem to be pretty annoyed and bummed out or ticked off, and I kind of didn't view it that way. And you can call me whatever you want. To me, the time for being pissed off was years ago. Right, when you get swept out or knocked out in the first round, or having Todd Reirden be the coach, or Adam Oates be the coach, or not retaining Barry Trotz, or not kind of starting this process sooner. You want to be upset about something, be upset about that. This group, the story is what you just mentioned. The story is children without much experience getting great experience to go along with some of the vets that you know are going to be there. So yeah, the future is brighter than it's been for this kind of aging core that's now down to only a couple of guys left from the Stanley Cup team. So to me, this is actually the first real positive step that they've taken instead of just kind of hanging on to past glory for a while.
Speaking of sweeps, the Nats could get a four-game sweep of the Marlins
tonight. Paper towel, yes.
6:40 start time. That means we're done at 6:10.
What a comeback yesterday.
Right here on the Fan. It was their largest comeback since July 5th, 2018, when they were down 10-0, 9-0 rather, and won 14-12 in that game. Also in 2015, they were down 9-1 and came back to beat the Braves 13-12 in the Dan Uggla game. But you can't do much better than coming back from down 7-0 in the early going, 9 unanswered over a couple of at-bats. Nick Senzel, 3-run homer in the fifth, capped the rally, and they ended up exploding for 23 runs in two games over the weekend. So Jake Irvin on the hill tonight as they try to get back to 500 on the season. They have been a lot better than people thought.
Indeed. How about Nick Senzel knocking the ball out of the yard a little bit? He's got 5 bolts, second on the team, right behind some kid shortstop that they have we should keep an eye on.
You know how many games he's hit the 5 homers in?
It's like, what, 7-8 games?
5 games.
Yeah.
He's got 5 home runs in 5 games since coming off
the
injured list. So
this place is lit.
Thank you, Charlie.
Certainly has been, Charlie.
Thank you, Charlie. Yep.
Thank you, Charlie.
Just want to say thanks, Charlie, real
Make
quick.
Make sure you thank Charlie.
Thanks, Charlie, real quick.
When he contributes to the show,
yeah,
you got to thank him.
Yeah, thanks, Charlie.
CJ Abrams is him?
He is. Let me hear Charlie talking about a glizzy. A glizzy? A glizzy is a hot dog?
Guzzy? Glizzy.
Guzzy.
Guzzy.
What, glizzy?
What's the umpire's last name, Phil?
Guzzy?
That's it.
That's a deep cut, by the way. There's like 6 people who are going to get
if
that.
If Kirk
one.
Cousins had a nickname that wasn't Kirka or Kirky, what would it be?
Guzzy?
Kirk Guzzy? Too much of a stretch, Armstrong?
Danny said, Joey Meneses isn't a good story. He's capping.
He is capping, Charlie. By the way.
He's capping?
Joey Meneses. The story was fun.
I had a good time
reading
that story.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe even a little bit last year.
Yeah.
Not as fun to read at bedtime this year.
He's capping.
Mm.
Thank you, Charlie.
Mm.
Danny?
Does capping mean hitting 236 with no bombs?
Danny? Thank you, Charlie.
Oh, thanks, Charlie. Thank Sorry, you. Buddy.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to leave
All
you
right,
hanging
let's
there.
Get to the calls. 800-636-1067. So, Danny, you answer the question first, and then we'll get to our callers. Favorite, least favorite thing they did?
Ben Sinnott. Once I heard about it, he wasn't on my radar there, but once I started doing some reading, I get the vision. I understand that. Least favorite thing is pretty simple to me. There were three types of players that they needed, in my humble opinion. They don't view it this way, clearly, because they didn't do it. They needed three. A tackle, another wide receiver, and a tight end. They got one out of three with meaningful picks. So that's what I think was a mistake. I think they missed on that.
Well, when you say with meaningful picks, what do you mean?
That second round where they had three selections.
Okay.
They didn't.
So you would have preferred bing, bang, boom, you're saying.
Gotcha. Or two out of three or a more reasonable plan. They got an upside guy in the third round that they think's a tackle. You know, I understand the process there, but to me, they had three dire needs, and with their early picks, they solved one of them.
I guess my favorite thing that they did, I really like the Sanristil pick at 50. I think he'll play well in the slot. And I think Johnny Newton's going to be a stud. And I'm not sitting here pretending like I was all over him. Like, he was not really on my radar. I'll tell you this, Danny, more people hit me up about that pick than anything else that they did.
Interesting.
Just like, you know, either draft Knicks or people with other teams or whatever, they're like, dude, that guy is a dog. Now, he was not a guy I expected. I was not on the D-tackle beat. But I think Newton will be really, really good and might end up outside of Daniels, hopefully they hit a home run on. Ideally, he'll be the best player in the class. That's what you want to happen when
sure.
you take a guy 36th. Least favorite thing, it's got to be how they handle tackle. I'm not anti-Brandon Coleman. If he's a left tackle and he's good, then great. You got unbelievable value. I mean, remember, Morgan Moses, albeit on the right side, was picked around there and became an excellent
player.
And
really struggled early.
Yeah.
And then we learned, yeah.
But it became good for a long time. You mm-hmm. can find a lot of left tackles have had success in this league that weren't taken in the top 20 or 30.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not closing the book on Brandon Coleman. I'm looking at this from a 10,000-foot view of, if you would have told me that with all that money, and they still have a lot of money, by the way,
yep,
you were going to get through free agency. Not like there were six great tackles to be signed, but there were a handful of guys that have better resumes than Cornelius Lucas, I'll say. And you go, no thank you to all of them. And then you go into the draft, correctly take your quarterback at 2, but then at 36, you're on the clock, 50, you're on the clock, 53, you're on the clock, and at all three of those options, you pass on tackle. For players that I think, I just said, I really like Sanristil, I like Newton, and I'm thrilled they got a tight end. You could have probably gotten a tackle there and taken, as it turned out, like Jatavion Sanders or another playmaking tight end later, but we'll see if they're right. I mean, that's all you can say at
right.
this point is that they had a plan, they had a vision. With Rivera, most of the time, I would say, I don't like that they did this. We'll see. And then it ended up being that they were wrong. Hopefully, this group gets it right more often than the last
Indeed.
One Will is in Stafford. Hey, Will, how are you?
Hey, Will.
Hey, G&D. Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I just want to say I agree. You know, Grant said it. Sanristil was my favorite pick. I guess kind of a disappointment. I was hoping they would have taken a running back maybe to add to the room. I know they've got Robinson and Eckler, but not just because he's Tennessee, but Jalen Wright had a great combine receiving back in the SEC, same mold as Alvin Kamara at Tennessee. I thought he would have been great. He went in the fourth round, ran a blazing 40. I would have loved to get him, but you had three tackles go within eight picks of each other in the 60s, Suamataya, Fisher, and Rosengarten. One of those guys, if they could have scooped one of them up to just even plug in a right tackle, I think would have been a good move. But overall, man, very happy. Also, Martin Ferravari, great series for a disappointing four games. Played really well. Thanks,
yes,
guys.
He did.
Next year.
He was flying around offensively, scored the first goal of the night, obviously, last night, and had some other chances. But I thought all year long, and as the year went on especially, elevated his game, became kind of a mainstay and a linchpin with Carlson, especially down the stretch where Carly was playing about a half hour.
Did they play
a
lot of minutes? Yeah.
You know, Ferravari at times was playing well up over 20 minutes, and he just became a man in front of our eyes, so that was good to see. On running back really quickly. So they went and got Eckler to be their pass catcher. They have Brian Robinson as their battering ram. I really liked what I saw from Chris Rodriguez. You know how much I like him out of Kentucky. He's kind of another Robinson type.
Mm-hmm.
So if they were going to do something at running back, they probably should have gone with an Eckler future replacement or someone to like learn under Eckler in that pass catching role.
Right.
My guess is, though, you can find a guy like that maybe to stash on your practice squad. Maybe not take up a roster spot. They also brought in Jeremy McNichols. For what that's worth, I'm not sure if he makes the team or not, but he's a veteran guy. So they've got four in the room. I'm always for drafting a speedy, shifty, diminutive, pass-catching RB, so I'm not going to say no to that. But I thought after you went and got Eckler, you don't necessarily need it right now. It would have been more for layering for the future.
Yeah, to me, once you get to the fourth round, that's what I'm doing. Right, all too often, I probably end up in the fifth round drafting an undersized scat back or the sixth round, something like that, where you take an attribute, somebody that might end up helping you for a short term. You know, you're not going to count on that guy as your bell cow for an extended period of time, A, because that's how the running back position works these days, but B, it's a kind of a low commitment thing. It's unfortunate. You kind of churn and burn there. I would certainly be open to that.
Let's go to John, who's in the district on GND. Hey, John.
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Granddaddy, what's going on? Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate you.
All right,
buddy.
I'm going to give you two opinions, and I'll find this new positivity thing for 2024, so they're both going to be positive. But the first thing, you know, as an adult, I've been lucky that I haven't crapped myself yet, knock on wood. When they first picked Johnny Newton and otherwise, I loved it, especially before the gentleman on that said, you know, John Allen, he was on his last year of the contract. The guy was too good to give up and not draft. It's actually a genius pick. I love it. That's number one. Number two, Luke McCaffrey. I'm loving that pick. He might not work out. He might not even make the team. But you know what he's going to do? He's going to practice hard every single day. He's going to make everybody else around him better. He's that annoying guy on the team in practice, you know, elevates everybody else. Obviously comes from a pedigree of a professional family. I'm thrilled with the draft overall. Like I said, positivity for 2024. I can take a deep breath.
I love it.
I can take a deep breath. I think things are looking good for us.
Thanks, John. I appreciate
it. Keeping
you.
That New Year's resolution going into April. Look at you.
That's right.
Good for you.
Luke McCaffrey is going to make the team, first of all. I mean, he was a third-round pick. Adam Peters is very close with the McCaffrey family. It would be silly to suggest that his last name and his bloodlines didn't have something to do with Peters' intrigue and wanting him. Also, that's okay. It's a thing that if your dad was in the clubhouse, you might be better when you get on the big stage in baseball. You know what I mean? It's
sure.
A thing that the more you're around something and the stage doesn't feel so big, the more comfortable you are. That when you're on the sideline with your brother, or you're helping him study the playbook, or you're at an NFL practice, like all of that can benefit you. So that's okay to me. You also know so much of this is work habits, family, upbringing, character. Like, you don't have to worry about any of that stuff.
Yeah.
You know all about it.
That kid ain't getting outworked. I know that.
No. And then as a wide receiver, again, I get that he was low down the board. He'd only been a wide receiver for a couple years, probably part of the reason. 17 contested catches. Number two in all of D1 college football. You're talking about six wideouts in the country that had 70-plus grabs and 13-plus touchdowns. He was one of them. So he produced. He's got burst. You saw the athletic traits. The combine numbers were outrageous. He makes the acrobatic catches with DBs hanging off of him. He was a wide receiver until 2 days ago. He knows how to help. He was
quarterback, yeah.
I should say. He's currently a wide receiver, so I guess he was 2 days ago as well. Botched my punchline. But because he was a quarterback until two seasons ago, he knows how to help a QB and come back and get open and, you know, when a guy's scrambling, plaster and find the sideline. Like, just really intuitive, smart things. And by the way, we could talk to him about some of this because he's joining us in a little over an hour. Make sure you're listening if you want to hear from Luke McCaffrey at 4:30 today on Grant and Danny. What do you guys like and what don't you like that Washington did in the draft? Favorite, least favorite thing that Peters and company pulled off this weekend. You're listening to G&D.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hello?
Hey, is this Ben?
Yep.
Ben, it's Adam Peters with the Commanders. How you doing?
I'm doing really good. How you doing?
Doing great, man. You know why?
Why's that?
We're about to pick the bad right now.
Let's do it.
Let's do it, man. I love the way you play. Love it. The way you block, the way you finish. And you got so much more in you. You remind me of a couple of guys I used to be with in San Francisco, and George and Juice. And I think you can just like those guys, man. I have a ton of belief in you. I can't wait to see you play for us.
Let's do it. I appreciate that.
Congrats, man. How about this, huh?
Man. Thank you so much, Coach.
Hey, you represent all the stuff of the way that we want to play, man. You're tough, you finish, and you stand for it all, man. We can't wait to coach you ever since, I've watched you play for 2 years, man. I so wanted to coach you, so, like, now we finally get to, man. We're excited, dude, and, like, this is a big day, man. So enjoy it with you and the fam, and just let you know how pumped we are to have you here.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Can't wait.
Go to Washington.
Ben Sinnott. Phone call changed his life from Adam Peters and Dan Quinn. Welcome back. We're Grant and Danny on the Fan. He was the number one PFF graded tight end in the red zone at 87 as a grade, 9 catches and 6 scores this year. You hear fullback H-back, and I think in your mind you think of like a bigger plodding. Like
Brad Kozlowski with a neck roll.
Yeah, like a 250-pound guy, but 4 catches of 40-plus yards, an outstanding, violent, physical blocker, who also happens to be able to make some plays in the passing game. When I watched him the first time after they took him, I saw some Chris Cooley. And then it was funny that I heard subsequently one of his favorite players to study at when he kind of became what he is now is Chris Cooley. And it was part of the reason why Washington was really high on his list, wanted to work with Cliff Kingsbury. He's one of a few guys I think it's fair to say, though, and this doesn't mean anything. It's just an observation. They took higher than was expected, which when you routinely do that and you're wrong all the time, which was what happened with the last regime, I'll start crushing you for it. But the industry consensus was not that Sinnott, as an example, was like the number two tight end. There were some places where you could find that, to be clear. But they love the player, and you heard Peters there tell him, you remind me of Kyle Juszczyk, who's been one of the great fullback tight ends.
I'll take that.
You know, that H-back tweener of his era.
The thing that I
and
want
George
there. Yeah.
Kittle, who's one of the best tight ends in the sport. What a compliment to get from the GM.
I love that. And visions of those guys, because again, it's the versatility, right? It's the, if you go nickel, this guy will not get in next week. If you go base, he'll run right past you. I want that. All I want is more and more and more matchup problems, nightmares, uncheckable monsters, players that you have to scheme around and solve. Even if it's not a guy that's going to go for 1,200 yards and 10 touchdowns, like a true honest-to-goodness number one wide receiver, I want somebody always to have a counter, right? The last several years for Washington's offenses, really since kind of the end of Jay Gruden's tenure, they've had no counterpunch. If you took away their thing, that was it. I don't like that. I want endless options, endless opportunities, endless potential matchup advantages, and guys like that provide it.
He led all tight ends in the broad jump, the vertical jump, and the three-cone at the combine. There is some twitch here. You know, there is some athleticism, despite whatever connotation comes with the Lohman Trophy for being the best fullback in the nation. Kevin's in Arlington on Grant and Danny. Kev, what did you like most and least about Washington's draft?
You got it, boys. Thanks for taking my call. Danny, you're not going to like this, but I'm a little bit on the opposite end of you, and here's why. Let me explain. I like that the four glaring needs going into draft weekend were quarterback, pass-catching tight end, left tackle, and corner. And I think with Jaden and Ben, maybe with Coleman, and definitely with Mikey, we've addressed those four needs. Like, I don't look at our roster today and say, oh, my God, we have a glaring hole there. Now, maybe we do at left tackle. But this kid was ranked by a lot of people in the early 60s. So that means he's a high third-round pick. He's extremely athletic. He's got extremely long arms. He's a beast. Maybe he just needs coaching. So I'm going to be glass half full with Peters and everybody else until I have reason not to be. Now, one other thing. McCaffreys are like Bosa's. You can't have enough of them on your team.
I love that.
That's a great bit.
And I thought it was ironic that we got a McCaffrey for the draft pick San Fran sent us for Chase, who obviously doesn't love football like the McCaffreys love football. That's my opinion, but I stand by it. So I was thrilled that ironic thing occurred. Now, what didn't I like? Well, Danny kind of hinted at this. The Marty Party's still there. And if they still prove to be wrong about Phil Mathis and Manny Forbes necessitating the Newton and Mikey selections, I want the Marty Party gone or in ceremonial roles.
The Marty Party, they're still there. They're already in ceremonial rules, I would say. But it got a lot harder for Fedarian Mathis because good luck getting on the field. I mean, I think they got to run bare fronts a lot, you know, five man
little
fronts,
five down, yeah.
And then have Johnny Newton playing with Payne and with Allen frequently if he's as good as they think he is. This is not just about his sophomore season next year. This is about this season, right? I also think in the case of Forbes, while he's going to play outside a bunch because I think Sandra still starts in the nickel, that was a ding to Quan Martin some. His value, presumably, was safety and nickel. Now, there's enough teams running spread with a bunch of receivers that you'll be able to get everybody on the field, and guys are going to get banged up. But you don't take Sandra still if you're looking at your roster, watching the film, going, Forbes is going to break out, Martin's a star.
Yeah, you know what we got is
exactly.
This. Exactly. Yeah.
You don't take a Johnny Newton there if you already have – you drafted Fedarian Mathis in the second round in 2022 – no disrespect to him, but just a waste of a pick at this point, it looks like, because you were layering for letting Payne walk, which they didn't do anyway. And you go, well, eventually Allen will walk. It's going to end up being 3 years later, but we'll have Mathis then. And you have already supplanted him with the replacement for Allen. So, yeah, he plays less than Ridgeway. Like, Ridgeway is the guy that loses playing time. There's no hope for those. To me, for the Martys to end up pointing to those picks as if they're wins.
Yeah, as if to say, like, give us some credit there. Yeah, I mean, to me, I think you're right about Quan Martin in so much as now. I think you'll see him on the field because this new era of the secondary position flexibility.
And he flashed at the end of the year much more than Forbes did.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, he didn't play the first half of the season, Martin did, but I think your point's right.
But he also picked off a couple passes and made a few plays.
And so he'll kind of be that, you know, sometimes walking into the box, almost a safety, maybe a nickel, depending on how, you know, the alignment goes or whatever. So I think this will be kind of the new era. You'll see him on the field, but you're right. It is kind of a ding saying, nope, we're not all set there, in fact.
But I think some of these guys are not all going to make the team in terms of, I don't mean the draft picks this year, but the last regime's early round picks. Like, it would be clearly Forbes, Martin, they should make it. Mm-hmm. But is it a lock that Fedarian Mathis, as an example, makes the team? I don't think that's a guarantee after you just take a tackle at 36. And then on the secondary front, you know, you talk about, like, moving Quan Martin all around. They just drafted this kid, Dominique Hampton, a fifth-round pick out of Washington, who's very kind of Percy Butler-ish. Mm-hmm. He's a safety. But at safety, you've got Forrest, Butler, Chin, Hampton, Reeves. That's five safeties that are going to be on the team probably. Where's Quan Martin fit in? Now, again, I think he's on the team, and they just list him as a corner. But he's not going to play on the boundary. Unless you're kicking Sandra still outside some to play him inside. I just don't get it. So, if nothing else, it's going to elevate those guys' performances in camp in the preseason because they're now battling for legitimate. Forget playing time. You're probably going to make it just because of where you were drafted last year, but these guys didn't draft you. They don't care.
That's right.
You're not their guy. We just saw that with how many players they brought in and moved on from.
They were not scared.
Zeke in D.C., you're on Grant and Danny. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on the show. Enjoy your show.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. Yeah, I was pretty much happy with the draft, except you mentioned it, Dan. It's like we had all the free agency and we had the entire draft, and we could not find one left tackle. I know we have the guard that we're going to try to convert to tackle, but it's like we got our number one asset is our quarterback, and I just hate seeing us go in there without a true left tackle to protect his blind side. They might address it later, but that's the only thing that kind of had me disappointed after the draft was over.
If we get to talk to Peters in the coming days, couple of weeks, whatever, I think mostly it's going to be a lot of complimenting him on what they've done and talking about how handsome he is and how his hair sits just so.
Just sits.
But the areas where I'd like some answers are, I guess, number one, tackle. I know that you know that you need a better tackle. Because you tried to trade up to 15. And I know that you tried to trade up to 15. Mm-hmm. Now, you weren't able to pull it off. I don't know how hard they tried, but you were making calls. Mm-hmm. Tells me that you acknowledge the situation, so you can't feel great. So I would need an answer about that. And then I would be curious about, and this is not as accusatory or negative, but it is just, I think, relevant and fair observation. There were a few picks here where you went with a guy that you like a lot more than everyone else. Are there any nerves when you do that, when you kind of stick your neck out there? For the tight end, two was a guy that a lot of people had 6 or 7 on their boards. And you know better than they do, probably. I'm not telling you don't. But when you go, we're going to make this guy a left tackle when most people see him as a guard, you got to be right. And I guess those are the two questions coming out of the draft for me, is whether it's McCaffrey, who we got coming up at 4:30, whose game I like, or Sinnott, whose game I really, really, really like. They seem to go around early. And in the past, when guys went around or too early, it backfired every single time, and the group ended up being wrong. I don't think this group will be, but I think it would be worth asking him about that. Like, how much do you care at all, or do you notice, or do you have any understanding of where guys are penciled in and what other teams might think of them? Or are you going, Sinnott's a stud, this is Kittle, this is Juszczyk. If I don't take him here, he won't be there at 67. We're taking him right now.
Right, because we need him.
Is it that simple?
The one thing I would add is, did you not see the same thing as everyone else with the receiver class? Like, did you not really want in on that first few rounds of you know, this is the best receiver class since blah, blah, blah. This group. And did you look at your own group going, no, we got it internally. We're fine. We got Zacchaeus now. You know, Jahan Dotson last year was a mirage. He's actually legit. Because if they believe, then their approach makes a lot more sense to me.
Let's go to Robert in Fairfax on Grant and Danny. How are you, Robert?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, buddy.
Good.
Hey, you know, I mean, I'm not an old-timer, but I'm a medium old-timer. You know, I used to watch Beathard's drafts, and I used to, you know, they didn't run the draft live in those days, but you used to look at the picks, and I'd have my Street and Smiths, and I'd figure out who I'd want to take. And Beathard never took the guys that I wanted. And so
worked out,
you know,
all right.
I mean? Yeah. He never took the guys I wanted to pick, but – you know, what you got to do with this guy is you got to look and hit him and Quinn together. You got to, and San Francisco does this too. You end up with a player like Deebo Samuel, and he does so much more in the pros than he was anticipated he was going to do when he came out of college. that's just, if they were to redraft these guys, the Samuel guy would probably be like a top 14 pick, top 12 pick. Okay, but where he went, San Francisco saw him doing those things, but other teams didn't see that. And so it's, I really like the Newton pick. The Daniels pick, well, we never had a pick that high when Bethard was here for him to make a pick like that. But the rest of these guys, I mean, Hampton, some of these other guys late, I mean, you're just looking at measurables because none of those guys is a finished product. They're all raw, right?
Well, I wouldn't say they're raw because all the guys late played a ton of football. Sixth year, fifth year seniors because of the pandemic year. So it's less raw maybe that they have shortcomings. And the question is, can you coach around deficiencies? Can you elevate their game?
Yeah, find something for them to do.
Exactly. But I'll take Dan Quinn and Joe Witt with a big, long physical safety to just bet on them figuring that out. It's part of why I like some of the guys who are already on the roster in the secondary with them more than the last group, because these guys weren't high school football coaches. I mean, that's a big leap.
That's a big thing. Yeah,
it's a nice little jump.
Took me back there with the Street and Smith guide back in the day. That was a staple, dude.
Double play coming your way next quickly, and then we can get back into your thoughts on the draft. Remember, we've got the Beltway Blitz at the top of the hour, and Luke McCaffrey, the wide receiver from Rice, is going to join us on the show at about 4:25 right here on The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
G&D on The Fan, driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. It's double play time. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. Danny, I just said to you during the break, I said, Danny, you should do OnlyFans. And Danny just kind of said, what? Why? That's what everyone thinks. But do you know that you don't have to get nude? It doesn't have to do anything with nudity.
They're doing comedy now. Like a bunch of people have comedy specials on there
and
stuff.
There's like a negative bad connotation. So that when you say I'm on OnlyFans, everyone's like, what?
Whoa.
You're stripping for money? OnlyFans giving celebrities new revenue streams minus the hardcore content. This is from ABC News. There's an actress named Drea De Mateo. She was on The Sopranos.
Adriana Lacerva. Christopher.
She specialized in some sexy characters, it says, most notably on The Sopranos. These days, she's creating a whole new persona on OnlyFans, the internet content subscription service, most notably associated with sexually explicit content.
Mm.
But the 52-year-old is not posting nude pictures. She's joining a growing list of high-profile celebs. You could be one of them, Danny.
Mm, very high-profile, yeah.
Other non-famous people taking their talent sans nudity to the exclusive subscription-based platform.
So I don't know what it says about my algorithm, where on the old Twitterverse, I constantly get advertisements of like, click on this person's comedy special, but it's like via OnlyFans. So
I know what it says about your algorithm.
Do you think it does? So, but it's like the it's like another Patreon
Danny
or
Whitlock over here.
Oh, easy. Why are these targeted ads ESPN? I got a message for you there, Jason. Any hoodles. But no, it's like Substack or Medium, and there's a million different ways to get your content directly to people that may or may not want it. But they're now kind of trying to branch out a little bit away from just the, you know, I don't know, nudes, and having people pay for those nudes or
so that's
whatever.
What they're trying to do is, yeah. You know, they've been hitting up like famous people on TikTok,
mm-hmm.
comedians, singers, whatever. They're like, we want content that isn't just nudity. We're yep. trying to basically their Patreon and their Cameo,
right.
But nobody knows it. They just hear OnlyFans and they think someone's taking their clothes off. But there's a bunch of celebrities who have joined. Everyone from, I don't know some of these names, Black China.
Oh, yes, of course.
$20 million from her page.
Seriously?
Whitney Cummings, the comedian.
Yep.
Denise Richards, the 90s sex symbol. Carmen Electra, Real Housewives. Sonia Morgan. These people, Larsa Pippen, DJ Khaled. They all have OnlyFans and none of them are doing nude stuff. And they're just making tons of money.
I wonder what they're doing.
Cameos, basically.
Oh, really? That's wild.
It's essentially cameos. Now, this lady does say, this De Matteo lady.
Uh-huh.
She's the one from Sopranos.
Yeah, yeah.
That I started talking about. She's 52. Who says she's very clear, top of the page, no new nudity happening here. It's not completely not weird, because unless she's joking, I think she has sent like her pictures of her feet to people. That's kind of strange.
Yes, it is.
Like, that's tough.
It is. It's just not. And God bless you, whatever butters like, your biscuit,
you
dude.
You can say, I'm not doing nudity. I'm not doing anything weird. Well, I do send my feet to people occasionally.
I sent pictures of my feet.
That's a little bit strange for me. But if you're not doing that, like apparently Cardi B doesn't do that or the nudity thing, and she just makes a lot of money. Again, I'm kind of wondering, why are you subscribing to the page for 5, 10, 20, 40 bucks, whatever? But it's like a Patreon or a, you know, just like getting a cameo. Like, make this video for my buddy. Okay, now make this video for my other buddy.
And but you're like subscribing for that. And like, I have a cameo, for example, cameo.com/drouye. And people will say, hey, man, you know, for my fantasy football draft, impersonate Barack Obama picking the order for, you know, wish my dad a happy birthday. Like, normal kind of stuff. I get that. It's paying as you go. But, like, would you subscribe for that? You see what I'm saying? Like, what is that? Like, in other words,
that's
would
not
you?
Good. No.
Like, not that I have anything to offer
so
in terms of OnlyFans.
If I
right.
want to get you to OnlyFans, yeah. I think it could be good for two reasons.
Okay.
One, everyone would think it's hilarious that you're on OnlyFans. And they'd be like, I got to subscribe and see what Danny's up to.
And you would be so disappointed.
Exactly. But it's just a funny thing that Danny's on OnlyFans, uh-huh. and it would move the needle and get some attention. So right. I think that gives you a couple bucks right
okay, so, there. So far, I'm into this plan. I'll
okay.
do it.
Uh-huh. So number two then okay. is you could post a set. You could do impressions each night. You could do 15 minutes of impressions at 9 p.m. each night. You're going to do a written
yes.
bit, you know, and it's like, it's OnlyFans, and it's Danny Rouye on OnlyFans.
Am I about to do an OnlyFans?
The reason I brought it up is half Joan, half not Joan.
Yeah.
No one's ever been more likely to sign up for anything to make like $47 in a year than you are. So what's the difference? You've tried all this other stuff. Just get on OnlyFans. It's going to be hilarious one way or the other. And then do some content.
I don't know whether you're like, because you're doing.
No, I'm being dead serious.
Why, but you're smiling while you're saying you're being serious? You're doing things like, I'm being serious. It doesn't sound as serious.
I'm being serious, but it's funny because it's Danny on OnlyFans.
No, I understand. I'm there.
But
I'm with you.
My whole point of this mm-hmm. double play,
yeah.
the connotation is now incorrect.
Yeah.
When people hear OnlyFans, it's like, you know, like you're working at the gentleman's club or something. It is not just that you're taking your clothes off for pictures.
I hear you, but when you say the connotation isn't right, they built their reputation a little bit.
I understand, right? But they're trying to curb
yes,
that
they are.
Now.
Yes,
They're literally calling Danny Rouye and going, can we get some content as Charles Barkley?
Good. That way you could do all of them. Here's the thing. You've actually kind of sold me on this.
There you go.
This is a reasonable idea for me.
Thank you.
So it is going to be funny to say, subscribe to my OnlyFans.
Yeah, that's
that's a tough.
No. You're looking at it
that's
wrong.
A big hill to climb.
I don't think that's the I think that's the best part.
Hey guys,
the whole bit is when
subscribe
someone goes
to my OnlyFans.
When someone goes to your Twitter account, and they just see Danny.Rouye OnlyFans like hashtag HTTML or whatever, or like even better, you go to pick your kid up from school and you've got the OnlyFans sticker on your back window.
Oh, no,
and it just says Danny Rouye OnlyFans,
oh,
and
that's hard.
It's your link, or
that's
you have.
Tough.
You could probably do like a what do you scan, like a QR code?
Yeah, a little QR code,
so like an OnlyFans QR code right there. Come on.
That's the part that's tough.
Danny Rouye OnlyFans.
That's tough.
Let's do this.
Can you imagine? I want you to picture something real quick. Not me doing the OnlyFans that everyone's thinking of right now. Imagine the person that would subscribe to my OnlyFans. You see what I'm saying?
It's just dudes. It's just
no,
like,
but not knowing that I'm going to do the other thing, the, yeah, not the nudity thing. But imagine someone that would see me and go, I should subscribe to the OnlyFans.
Here's the best part.
You see what I'm saying?
Is that Danny gets the OnlyFans.
Yeah.
He get, you know, 10, 15, 20 people hop in, couple bucks a month, whatever.
Sure.
He's doing, you know, some Charles Barkley symposiums, whatever it is. It's not, it's going fine,
it's
but
fine.
It's not going great.
Yeah.
It's a couple bucks to go get a dinner one night with,
sure,
his wife. Then Danny goes, what if I just started sending out some pictures of my feet?
Just sending out the feet pics.
What if some people are asking for feet pics and I'm like, ah, oh, what's the difference?
All right,
I'm
guys, it's Tuesday. Stay tuned for feet pics. I'll be in the garden.
So what do you think? Danny Ruye OnlyFans. Let's do this thing.
When we started this double play, there was a 0% chance.
I asked him in the break. I'm like, dude, you got to get on OnlyFans. And you laughed in my face.
Right, because I thought you were like, yeah, show your pasty, pudgy, but cottage cheese body.
That's not the point.
Mm-mm.
And that's kind of my whole point.
There was a 0% chance. There's not now.
How much?
It's a bigger number.
40? 20?
I'm going to have to see what the wife thinks.
Garris, you going to subscribe to Danny's OnlyFans?
He shouldn't.
We got to get him on OnlyFans.
It's going to be a no from me, dog.
Okay. Ryan, Danny's OnlyFans.
It'll be cheap, bro.
Absolutely going to subscribe right away.
Thank you.
Give you all my money.
What's a good price point, Ryan? All sincerity.
Well, $5 is the max, clearly.
I was thinking less than that.
No, okay. I was going to go $6.99.
Whoa.
Wow, that seems like a lot.
So if I got three Ryans.
18. Yeah. I was going to ask, what is the number you need to do it? But it's probably a low number.
It's not that high of a number, right, honestly. OnlyFans.
Think about it. Danny Ruye. OnlyFans.
Tuesday's feet pics.
At OnlyDanny.
OnlyDanny.
You can start
tough.
Changing your social.
Oh, my God.
G&D on the Fan. We're blitzing next. Luke McCaffrey will be on the show at 4:30.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.